This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad, opening the book bag again for more great reads from Northern Illinois authors. The first writer in our winter book series is well-known to fans of jazz, especially big band music. Ron Modell started the NIU Jazz Ensemble in 1969. Under his leadership, the ensemble gained an international reputation, and NIU became known as the place to study jazz performance and education. Ron has a new book about his life and his career called Loved Being Here With You. Ron Modell, welcome to Morning Edition.
Well, it's wonderful to be back at these studios. I've spent a lot of time here with both WNIJ and WNIU, and I am a yearly contributor to NPR.
Ron, you come from a family of musicians, including several who have had successful careers as trumpet players. I'd like you to go back to that first moment when you picked up a trumpet and tried to play it. How did the trumpet feel in your hand? How did it sound?
I had an older brother named Sandy, and my mother decided that she wanted him to study trumpet. So having two uncles who were very prominent trumpet players at that time, one was principal in the Cleveland Orchestra, Louis Davidson, and one was later to be principal trumpet in the Dallas Symphony, Milton Davidson. They recommended the best trumpet teacher in New York. And so my mother and I and my older brother went down to his studio in Manhattan. And no matter how he tried, my older brother just could not make a sound. And I, being 7 years old, kept saying, "Let me try, let me try." And finally, to quiet me down, the teacher said, "Let him try." And I immediately played. And the teacher looked at my mother and said, "Don't teach Sandy, teach Ronnie." And so that was my first introduction, really, to the trumpet. Although I must tell you that as a young infant, my mother said I cried most of the day until 5:30 in the afternoon when she flipped on the radio and a station in New York used as their theme the very famous Clyde McCoy's Sugar Blues, which was very, very popular.
Can you just hum a bar from that?
Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba, da-da-da. And he used a mute and he made a growl in the trumpet. So it was sort of preordained that trumpet was going to be part of my life. I mean, it just, that's the way it was going to be.
A high point of your career, and certainly that of the NIU Jazz Ensemble, was playing the 1996 Montreux Jazz Festival as Quincy Jones' big band featuring Phil Collins, Chaka Khan, Patti Austin, other great artists. In your book, you write that you were invited by the festival organizer, Claude Knobs, I guess?
Yes, Claude Knobs.
To participate. I wonder if you could share with our listeners what it was like to headline one of the world's most important music festivals.
Well, it was groundbreaking because Claude Knobs had made a rule that the main venue, which is called Stravinsky Hall, would never permit a college band to play there. And you know the old saying, you have to be at the right place at the right time. They had engaged the number one big band in Europe, called the WDR band, to do this 50-year retrospective of Quincy Jones' music. And the concert was to be held on July 19th. And somewhere in mid-June, they found out that half the WDR band was on tour and would not be available. And the very same day that he received that fax, there was another fax from one of my mentors, Leon Breeden from North Texas State, who had played for Claude Knobs at the Montreux Jazz Festival in 1970. They were the first college band. And in the fax, it said, "Dear Claude, I understand the Northern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble will be performing at Montreux this summer, and I truly believe, after hearing 400 or 500 bands during my career, that this band deserves to play in Stravinsky Hall." So Claude Knobs immediately faxed Quincy Jones Leon Breeden's fax. And Quincy Jones said, "I know Leon Breeden, and if he said that band is that good, get him." So the next afternoon, I received the fax saying, "Come for 3 days of rehearsal," and then the fourth day. The fourth day, Dan, our kids were on the stage from 10:30 in the morning until 1 a.m. We did the show twice. We had to block it for TV because it was being made into a video, which is still available. Imagine those kids having Quincy Jones in front of them and Chaka Khan over here and Patti Austin over here. it's a memory that those kids will have for the rest of their life. You know, all over the world, people were saying, where's Northern Illinois University?
I should mention that Quincy Jones wrote the foreword of your book.
Yes.
Shortly after that performance, you retired. And then 10 years later, you gave your final performance on the trumpet with the DeKalb Municipal Band. Why did you put down the trumpet?
When you've played at a certain level all of your life, I refuse to go below that level. And I was not willing, for whatever years I have left, to put in that time and devotion and dedication so that when you walk on the stage, you feel you're giving your A game every time. And I thought, I'll just quit, you know, and I had no idea that something would occur that never dawned on me. And that was to start a third career.
Well, let's talk about your career in stand-up comedy. You've performed at McCurdy's.
McCurdy's Comedy Theater in Sarasota, Florida. And I told a joke to Les McCurdy one night, and he said, you know, I'd like to have you try open mic one night. Just go up there for 5 minutes and see how you like it and see how the audience likes it. Well, the very next day, Les McCurdy engaged me to become a regular. And I will do a week in February and a week in April. And I've gotten to the point now to where I do 15 to 30 minutes prior to the headliner.
Do you have a reasonably family-friendly joke you can share with WNIJ listeners?
Well, I love this story. It's about an atheist who goes deer hunting and takes a shot at a deer and he misses. And he sits down to reload his rifle. And all of a sudden, after a minute or so, he turns around and standing behind him is an 8-foot grizzly bear. And this atheist looks up to the heavens and says, if there truly is a God, you'll give me a sign right now. And the next thing he hears is the bear saying, thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to receive.
Ron Modell is the author of Love Being Here With You. At WNIJ.org, you can hear him read an excerpt from his memoir. Ron Modell, thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you.